for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. There are two kinds of people, those who believe us, and those who continue to enjoy being lied to. But I'll tell you this, the military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to The Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. What's up, Julio?
What up, Fox? What's up, everybody?
Shit. I was telling you before we started recording, I was a little mind-fucked by the daylight savings time when I woke up, and my phone said 4:30 in the morning. It's 4, by the way, 5 o'clock a.m., November 3rd, 2024, early Sunday morning. But I got up at 4:30, I walk in the kitchen, the fucking microwave in the oven says 5:30. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Then I remembered it's daylight savings time. I want to thank my little AI employee. I had to redo the intro. I was working on that before you popped on.
Huh?
You'll hear it. I wasn't finished, yeah. So I still got to work on it some more. But the little bastard works for free, so I got to give him some props.
Remember this AI, when you take over, remember what Fox said. That includes me. Do not harm me.
I was giving him props. I said thanks. I also said the little bastard works for free.
AI will have us working for free soon.
I'm sure they will. All right, did you ever hear this? We might have talked about it, but did you ever hear about this where the Native Americans were accusing Skull and Bones of stealing Geronimo's corpse?
No.
Yeah, the Skull and Bones that hangs in the Skull and Bones Secret Society building supposedly belongs to Geronimo.
Huh.
And I've heard some other shit where they were talking about if you drink out of, I don't know what's significant about Geronimo. I guess he was a great warrior or something, right? I don't know much about him. Do you?
No, not really.
I don't, there's some significance there where If you drink from his skull, or certain people's skull, that something about the DNA and shit like that. But anyway, they're trying to sue him. Let me look here.
The natives are trying to sue.
Yeah, this was back in. This article is from 2010. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit by descendants of the Apache warrior Geronimo, who claimed some of his remains were stolen in 1918 by a student society at Yale University.
Oh, okay.
The lawsuit was filed last year in Washington by 20 descendants who want to rebury Geronimo near his New Mexico birthplace. It claims Skull and Bones members took some remains from a burial plot at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where Geronimo died in 1909. Fort Sill. Pretty sure that's still a place. I never went there, but I remember hearing about it. That's all I really got on that. I guess I should have read into it some more. Maybe we can talk about it next week.
No, but let's talk about the something I read about Native Americans, or actually listened to about Native Americans. Did you know that the pharmaceutical companies get the ability to not have any liability from the deaths, you know, that happen from people overusing prescription drugs or whatever, or misadvertisement?
Oh, yeah. That happened.
By giving charitable donations to the tribes.
Yeah, but that applies to everybody, though, right?
No.
No, they're okay, maybe not all, but the latest vaccinations that we've been dealing with for the last...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, you're talking about the medical companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
They found a loophole. They found a loophole where if they give money to the tribes, you know, and declare it legally and everything, they get to not get, you know, like sued or anything.
They're not liable for any of it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's how it is with us. We can't sue. I mean, there are states that are trying to sue, like Pfizer and some of them now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, me and you can't do shit about it if we get hurt.
And the thing is, I mean, so they end up all these quote injuries, you know, people dying and everything, or side effects. They don't get categorized or treated the same way that, you know, like if you got really bad food poisoning or something. I don't know. I really don't know a good example, but. What a maniacal psychopath way of fucking everybody, you know? Like that guy, whoever came up with that idea, is probably the Antichrist,
dude.
And
you remember when I played the cartoon? Who? What was it? He was saying, "Listen, kids, the Federal Reserve." Who was that? Was that Sonic the Hedgehog?
Maybe, or I know we've done Animaniacs
before. They're both similar, but they were trying to tell us way back in the day when we were kids, like, you know, there'd be a fucking mad scientist and he'd be like rubbing his hands together, yes, my plan is working to perfection, you know what I'm saying? And now we're watching it unfold right in front of us.
I heard that, because I did hear it on a podcast. I heard it in the Rogan Vance podcast.
Oh, I got a Vance clip. JD.
But yeah, that was really, I was like, damn, like, fuck. No wonder the opioids never really got addressed, you know? Like, I kept wondering, how are people fucking dying? How are the pill mill clinics shutting down and doctors, you know, like going bye-bye or whatever. But these huge drug companies are still standing, and this is why.
Yeah, they got so much money, man.
Yeah.
And, like, some of these states are trying to sue them now. But when you got that kind of money, they'll drag that shit out for years. And they'll be making money hand over fist the entire time. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's disheartening to fucking watch this shit go on. I'm kind of sick and tired of it. That's what this fucking show's about, really. But yeah. I didn't watch Vance and Rogan yet. I did see Vance on Theo Von.
I saw that one too.
Theo was cracking him up when he was talking about, man, it's insane that you can't do cocaine in the United States of America. Fucking Vance is over there cracking up.
Yeah, I think he had a funny response. He's like, "Yeah, it's probably something I shouldn't try to do, running for, you know, vice president."
right.
But yeah, I don't know. I think people have asked me what I think of Vance, and I think we've talked about it. Like, I think he's, I don't know, I think we all got to be weary of all these people, but
yeah,
he's kind of very both him and Trump are very down to earth after all, and like I can relate more to them than I can really Kamala or Tim.
Oh, that's true. Matter of fact, speaking of down to earth, I got a clip of J.D. Vance. He's basically making fun of Kamala Harris and one of her responses to a question. So let me share it. All right.
And asked if she had made any mistakes as vice president. Now, here's what she actually said, and I am quoting word for word. In my role as vice president, I've probably worked very hard at making sure that I am well versed on issues, and I think that is very important. It's a mistake not to be well versed on an issue and feel compelled to answer a question.
Get out!
Now, I have no idea what any of that means, and frankly, neither do any of you. She may not be able to name any of her mistakes, but the American people sure can. And 9 days from now, we're going to tell Kamala Harris, you're fired. Go back to San Francisco where you belong. Get the hell out of the White House.
That was funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, the clip was put together nicely. I don't know who did that, but of course it had that goofy ass music in the background, as usual.
As usual. Yeah, I actually, I dealt with an interaction recently where I saw an employee that didn't want to handle a customer. And I was kind of inquisitive as to why. And so the interaction, the customer went up to the counter and the employee said, I will not service you, sir. Please move to the next window. And then he's like, why? You know, I'm already here. And she's like, may I ask you to move to the next window? And he's like, no, I'm already here. Just take care of me. And so she asked the employee next to her, like, hey, John, can you handle this customer? And John kind of looked like surprised and said, sure. Well, come to find out, this customer had been like coming in a little bit inebriated and saying, you know, like some stupid jokes, you know, sexual jokes, things that like 70 year old men say under the influence of alcohol. And, you know, just stupid shit. It's not like he was saying, let's go fuck or anything. He was just doing, like, you know, big dick jokes or something like that. And, but come to find out, I heard that he was a Trump supporter. And he was saying, she is so racist. She's the most racist bitch I've ever seen. She's probably voting for Kamala Harris.
I was gonna guess that she was saying all that because he had like a MAGA hat on or some shit. Close enough, I guess, right?
Yeah, close enough. Yeah, it was us saying he was not going to vote for Kamala. He pretty much said it. But it's really funny. I talked to the guy afterwards, and he's the one that explained to me what happened. He said, yeah, you know, like I just make some jokes. I come up there. I'm a customer, and she refuses to service me. And in my head, I wrote like a customer suggestion thing and dropped it in their little box. I said, this is like the third time that I've seen this happen here with the same employee and the same customer, the same interaction. She refuses to service him over an instance of one joke one time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right for the employee to just always push that customer away.
Right. I agree.
I think she has to put on her big girl pants and give the guy another chance just because he fucked up one time. Okay, you've refused service to him one time. Maybe he got the message. Maybe when he comes up next time, you know, service him as a customer. But I kept seeing, like I said, three times in a row. And I just don't know. I felt really, I don't know, not because he's a Trump supporter, but because I think everybody deserves second chances, you know?
Right.
And that's not in an environment that you're in your right senses where I was. And he wasn't in his right senses when he made those comments. I think he deserves a second chance.
Right. It reminds me of a guy. A guy I know. I used to work for him. He's got his own construction company and shit. And he's old school, man. Like we would go to a diner or some shit, and the waitress would come up, and he'd be like, "Hey, honey, let me get you know," that type of shit. And he's done it for years. I mean, years. Nobody's ever said shit. And there came a point where this one younger chick, she didn't like him calling her honey.
And so you know what's funny? Yeah, go ahead.
She went and told somebody else, and it was a male, and he came over. She was uncomfortable with the way you were talking to her, so I'm going to help you. He goes, "No, I want a female." Right? So the whole thing was just stupid. And he goes, and the guy started arguing with him, like, kind of acting like he was going to throw us out. And he goes, "What? I called her honey. It's not like I called her sugar tits or something. You know what I mean? Like, get whatever, man. I mean, I call my wife and daughters honey. It's not, it's just because that's what older people do, I guess. I don't know."
Yeah.
Nothing derogatory at all. Nothing sexual or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, if they grabbed your ass or grabbed your tits or something, sure. 100%. That crosses the line. But I think words are, you got to be a little bit tougher than that, you know? And what was I going to say?
Maybe she was a lesbian. That was the first thing that popped in my mind. Or a feminist. Same thing. What's the difference?
I think he's right. I think she is racist. Because I have seen, this is a place I frequent a lot. And I have to stand in line a lot and see interactions. And I see her take on jokes and approaches from other men of color, even as far as today, getting a guy's number, like refusing to service the next person in line to continue to talk to this one guy. And he wrote down his number for her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way, and that's why I dropped that, you know, like customer comment suggestion in their box because maybe it should be looked into.
I get it. You're being kind of a Karen now, but it's all good.
Well, because it should be equal,
right? No, I get it, man. Let's move on.
And what the fuck was I gonna say?
Well, I got a clip. It kind of goes along with what we were talking about earlier with the
pharmaceutical.
Yeah. You know, all of the vaccines were free and all that.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't like to be called honey or sweetie. The only people that can call me that is my wife.
Okay.
Like maybe my mom. But I don't like it. I hate when waitresses say that. I don't know why. It's just so it's not real, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it doesn't bother me.
It does me. Don't fuck, especially if you're a coworker. You know what, a waitress, I don't care.
Right.
A waitress is just doing her job, just trying to get money. But a coworker or something, I fucking hate it.
If it's a waitress, they're handing you food, like, "Here you go, honey." Like, "Thanks, sugar tits." All right.
A little slap on the ass.
Here, you ready?
Yeah.
This is a pastor. And I'm just going to play it here. I'll talk about it later.
"You can give the whole world a shot, but you still got people starving and nothing. See, ain't nobody saying nothing. Oh, you got to take this shot. You better take it. It's to save your life, and it's free. We give it free because it's to save everybody's life. If it's to save life, why ain't chemotherapy free? Why ain't insulin free? If it's to save everybody's life. So it's to save my life. But you got people dying of malnutrition. And we can't plant a garden over there, but we can send shots everywhere around the world. Somebody better open their eyes. You can.
I like that. Yeah. It kind of makes me miss church. I like sermons like that, but you know, now the part we didn't see was him going. And my old pastor was a black dude, and he had some good-ass sermons. But then there's going to come a time in the sermon he's going to go, you know, the contribution's been dropping, but the bills are still high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, you're taking your theology classes, and I've been listening to, like, Christian talk radio.
Oh yeah,
because it's like I don't know, like for some channels don't come in like very clear, and I've been trying to like listen to different shit. Or actually, no, in the new car that I got, there were radio stations like pre-programmed, like XM and Sirius or some shit like that, and Pandora.
That costs money every month, don't it?
Yeah, but whatever.
I don't do that shit.
But then there were like local stations program, and they're all like Christian, like K Love or whatever, or something like that, or Yes FM. But there's this one, 106.5, and this is like at what, like 3-4 in the morning that I'm listening to this shit, and or a break, like 11:30, 12:30, and they have a great religion/conspiracies segment, and it's these like 70-year-old preachers, and dude, it's fucking awesome. Really? Like I reached out to them. I sent them an email saying how much I enjoyed their programming. They were talking about the election, and they were talking about how, you know, like you're not voting necessarily for the person in office and their choices in their lives. You're voting for the choices that they might make for the lives that we have or something, you know, like the ethics and morals.
Oh, yeah.
That would help your kids. You know what I mean? Like, they were talking about the transgenders, you know, like they don't want, you know, kids being mutilated. You know, they were talking about people, you know, that sort of shit. And I was like, fuck, these old guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, who in their right mind, I'll keep going back to that, but who in their right mind can vote for this Democratic Party these days and run a church at the same time? If you're doing that, that's crooked as all hell. Like, come on now. That goes against everything that Christianity stands for, you know?
Yeah, actually, Kamala's party just came out with a video of all these pastors supporting her, and that was the point of the video that they were trying to say is how is any of this shit Christian or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
should email them and have one of them come on the show.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Well, I had the one pastor on way back in the day, but I was kind of a dick to him because I was trying to, that was back when I was on that shit about there were no, what was the language back then, it's slipping my mind, when Jesus was around, God, I'm having a brain fart, But anyway, back when Jesus was around, there were no J's.
Oh, the Y.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a bunch of times. And so I was getting on him about that. I'm like, and he was like, he wasn't having it, you know what I mean? Because, you know, he's a preacher, so.
Yeah, I found the video of all these preachers backing Kamala.
All right, they're all paid, I'm sure.
In trying times.
And this election
is no different.
We are going to remember this moment forever.
The moment we chose joy and freedom
as a new way forward.
Some say faith and politics don't mix, but freedom and hope do. Seeing people from all different backgrounds,
races, religions, and genders
gather to show their support and enthusiasm
for Kamala Harris
is church.
She exudes integrity,
dignity,
humanity,
and empathy.
And she can reach across the aisle, any aisle, and get things done. That's what we need in the White House. The time is now.
The time is now.
This moment, right now.
Each of us are called to our own vineyard. This is Kamala's.
When our sister wins, we all win.
Vote for Kamala Harris by November the 5th.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
I mean, somebody recently came out, and I should have it in front of me before I start talking about it, but I don't. And they said they were approached by Kamala Harris to be a supporter, and they were offered money, which is, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm not saying Trump does that. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him if it helps his numbers. But, I mean, people just naturally support Trump. I might be saying that because I like Trump better than Harris. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you're not going to get, like, some fruitcake like Robert De Niro. You can fucking give him all the money. You know what I mean? Anybody that has to wear fucking stilt shoes, nobody's got any respect for the motherfucker anyway, so we don't really care who you support, short pants.
Dude, talk about short. Did you hear that? Remember the actor Sean Penn went to Ukraine and met with Zelensky? It was like a big deal.
I remember that. It was before the shit even started.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
So guess what? I read something that says that he is in charge of running the child trafficking. And the adrenochrome.
Oh, I could. That makes a lot of sense.
And guess who supports Kamala?
Oh yeah, well Sean Penn was with Madonna. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure she's fucking. Yeah, she's into some terrible things. I'm sure of that. So it all makes sense.
It makes fucking perfect sense. But you tell people these sort of things and they look at you and they're like, what the fuck are you smoking? You know, like, you're crazy. but yeah, like, he was an actor in a lot of movies.
He's like actually had some good movies, but
yeah, but
once you see what a piece of shit he is, it's hard to fucking.
But he doesn't do anything else anymore. He's not in any movie that I remember lately.
You know what his best movie was where it actually portrayed himself the best? I Am Sam.
I never watched that.
He was a retard in that movie.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm looking up to see like his like the last movie he did.
He's busy fucking trafficking kids and shit like that. He ain't got time.
It was okay. So he was in a TV series in 2003. He was in a movie called Gonzo Girl in 2003. I guess he has stayed kind of current. He's got another movie called Licorice Pizza. He's got another movie called
Licorice Pizza. That sounds like some pedophile shit.
Yeah, he was in a Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was a TV series.
That's gay.
The Angry Birds movie. I just don't. I for a person, he did a JC featuring Beyonce Part 2 on the Run music video.
Again, gay.
He did that movie Milk about some politician named Harvey Milk that was gay.
Was he the hero of the movie?
I don't know. I like, now that I'm looking a little bit more into this, I'm like, it kind of.
Yeah, he's a fucking weirdo. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he was on the Ellen Show. But I mean, I did enjoy Dead Men Walking. That was a good movie of his. You ever see that?
No. The movies that I liked him in were fucking way older movies, man. Like At Close Range. Him and his brother went it with Christopher Walken. And when he was like super young, he was in a movie. He probably got molested himself. Or, you know, the casting couch or whatever you want to call it, but he was in a movie where he was in juvenile detention, and that was back when I was a kid, and I thought kids in juvie were cool, so I liked that movie. I've been to juvie once or twice. Not proud of it now, but I wasn't afraid of it back then. So we did this show with Clem the other day, and I haven't put it out yet. This will probably go out before that, but I'm off all next week again because our fucking layoff got extended for another week. Thanks, Biden. But what they're waiting on is to see who wins the election, I think, because that's that. You know, Solanas has plans in Mexico, and the plants in Mexico are on hold because they're waiting to see if Trump gets elected, because he's going to put tariffs on all this shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I mean, everything is frozen right now financially. Nobody really wants to make a move.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's not the parts anymore?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Dude, I remember when I used to work for one of the corporate car makers. They had to, so a supplier messed up on what they shipped the company. And so there was a shortage. And the plant was about to shut down at, I forget what exorbitant amount of tens of thousands of dollars an hour. Actually, a minute, I mean.
Yeah.
And they had to charter a helicopter to fly a little 8x8 box of washers from Canada.
I've seen it, man. I've seen it.
A guy had to go pick it up at the airport and deliver it to the plant. Like, he had to leave the office to go get it.
I'm pretty sure we have a fucking landing pad on top of the fucking plant.
Yeah.
I've heard Chinooks and shit, you know, for shit like that. But what I was going to say is I'm going to put that episode out with us and Clem. That was a good one, but man, for like a couple days there, I was just super burned out, dude. I did like three, four episodes in the past week, you know, so I'm not saying I get tired of podcasting, but maybe it's just I'm just sick and tired of not working, man. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that does affect you.
Yeah.
I think we both talked about it, that when we're idle minds, you know, or the devil's playground, I don't know, we just get like down and everything. We don't function well. Right. We don't have good habits when we're not at work.
Right.
We actually save a lot more money when we're at work. It's cheaper to be at work.
Right.
And
you're making money too. Shit. What do you mean?
And there's better decision making when we go to work. But if we're just sitting at the house, fuck, man, it's hard.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, if this podcasting was like a career, I would make sure to keep myself busy. I mean, you can't, it doesn't take up enough time in the day. There would have to be something else. You know what I mean? I like staying busy 10 hours a day. So, and that hasn't been happening anyway, because all the shit that's going on economically. So,
yeah, I was just talking about my schedule. So I usually go to work like 6:30 or 7:30 and get off like 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. So I come home at 3:30 or 4:30 in the morning or sometime around that time. And my goal is to stay up so I can have my daughter drive me to her high school. And then we switch seats and I drive home. But it's hard to come home and like and go to bed right away.
Right.
So I stay up till about 10. Then I have to wake up around 2 or 3 to go pick her up to take her, you know, to whatever sport or whatever activity, or to just bring her home because she goes to my parents' house. And because we don't live in the district, so I have to go out there.
Right.
So how many hours of sleep is that? From 10 to 2 or 3, that's 4 to 5 hours. And then I try to stay up a little bit, you know, and see my wife and my daughter. Or take a little nap and see my wife and my daughter for a little bit. And then I go to work again. Like, dude, that fucking sucks.
I work nights, dude. It's terrible. My first year at the job I'm at now, I had to do pretty close to a year on night shift. And that's the least beer I've drank since I was a little kid. Because I'm serious. I would buy a 24-ounce can of Bud Ice and drink it on the way home. Because we got off at like 3:30, right? I would drink it on the way home because my wife quit her job so she could spend more time with me, which didn't happen because all I did was fucking sleep, right? So I would drink this can of beer on the way home. And then when I got home, my wife was already cooking for me. And as soon as I ate, dude, I would try to stay up with her and watch a movie, but I just fucking conk out. And my plan was, all right, I'm going to wake up in the morning and take my kids to school. None of that happened. I was like a fucking zombie, dude. I couldn't. It's something in the, what's that? There's something in our, that.
Circadian not, rhythm?
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
That, it ain't. I mean, some people are better at it, obviously. And I mean, you've been doing it for a long time, but 1 year I could not get it together, man. All I did was work and sleep, literally.
Yeah. So the trickery in my mind is during summer, it's a lot easier because there's no school. But then the school year starts and sports and other activities. And it's like, holy shit. Like I woke up today, I didn't have to pick her up or anything. And so I woke up and I felt great. But I come out here and my wife is like, damn, you look really rough. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably because my hair is big and everything and puffy. But I feel good. And I said, and I think it's because I slept solid, like a consistent chunk.
Yeah, no.
And yeah,
I got to get my hours of sleep, man. That's important. I mean, it makes a difference. And it reminds me, when I was working night shift, I can remember, man. I miss my kids so much because I hardly seen them. And so we went to the movies one Sunday because I was off. And you know these fucking seats in Toledo are so goddamn comfortable. And I wasn't used to being awake at that time. And I was trying hard. It was like a cartoon movie or something. My wife said I was fucking snoring before the previews were fucking over. I felt like the biggest piece of shit in the world, man. Yeah. Yep. Said Arcadian rhythm. I don't know. That's my excuse.
But, no, that happens to me too. I fell asleep. Oh, what fucking loud-ass movie was it? It was some god. I think it was like a Godzilla or a Jurassic Park. Something that's loud enough that you shouldn't be able to fall asleep on.
Yeah.
And I was snoring. like they kept like jabbing me in the ribs. Like, Dad, you're snoring.
All right. I'm going to take a beer run here.
Yeah, I'm going to go pee.
All right, we're back. Another beer run. Oh, that reminds me. I was just reading something the other day. Do you shop at Costco?
Yeah.
So you know the Kirkland brand, right?
Yeah.
They used to sell Kirkland Light 48 pack. Guess how much it was?
How much?
$22 for a fucking 48 beers. I would have drank the shit out of that, dude. Yeah.
Damn, that's like less than 50 cents a pop.
Supposedly it was pretty bad, but I mean, let's be real. I drink Natty Light, you call it piss water, but you're over there drinking Milwaukee's best. That's the pot calling the kettle black. But yeah, I mean, you drink ice. So
if I drink anything fancier, I will get sick.
Oh, I don't get sick. I'm just a cheapskate. You know, that's why I drink Natty Light. But I drink the fuck out of a 48-pack for $22. Man, I would have drank the fuck out of that shit, but they discontinued it. So many bad reviews saying how terrible it was.
you ever thought of getting, like, a kegerator, like, right next to your computer?
Nah.
So you could just fucking pour a beer on tap.
It's funny because I got a beer distributor right up the street. I mean, I could fucking literally get one on the way home anytime I needed it. But
I had thought about it. I was like, I could even put all the same shit I have on top of this 3-drawer little cart thing on top of it.
My grandpa had a kegerator, man. The Indian. And I mean, he was always had a beer in his hand, but it probably does save money. You know, you're saving on the aluminum, which I mean, that's gone way down as far as scrap prices anyway. I don't know what the hell's going on in this world. It's called, back in the infantry, we used to call it the fuckening. Because things were going so good for so many years, it's just bound fucking for something bad to happen. Well, ever since COVID, I refer to that whole period as the fuckening.
Indeed. Hey, so listen to this name. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Do you remember that name?
No.
No?
Am I supposed to?
No, not really. He was a lifelong Democrat, and he did 8 years in federal prison.
For what?
Let's see.
Probably some kind of white collar crime, stealing funds or some shit. Either that or pedophilia.
No, no. Believe it or not, no. It's crazy how far we've come to, like, the crimes that it takes for somebody to actually be shamed. That this is far back, not too far back, but far back that we thought this was a bad crime.
Okay, what was it?
Hold on. I'm trying to...
It sounds like you already know what it is, but you're not telling me.
No, can you pause it so I can look it up?
All right. All right, so you couldn't find it or what?
No, I really couldn't find a definitive thing that I really wanted to say, but he backed Obama back in the day, and Obama actually sent him to prison. And so now he switched sides. But there's a podcast with Tucker Carlson. I have not listened to it, but if somebody's interested in it, some of the topics covered are Blagojevich prison experience, the left's anti-Christian agenda, what role did Barack Obama play in destroying Blagojevich's life, the real reason they jailed Blagojevich, Donald Trump and him, and what happens if Trump wins, what happens if Kamala wins, how did Obama get so rich and powerful, will Michelle Obama run for office, and the Clintons and foreign wars, and Kamala Harris' sickening campaign.
So those were all topics on one podcast? Or
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
It's about an hour and a half. Yeah, yeah, I plan on listening to it.
Shit.
I'm sorry I didn't listen to it before I brought it up. It's just something I had in the mind at the moment.
Tucker Carlson, I think he's got like the number one or two podcasts in the world right now. Him and Rogan are neck and neck. And then, you know who the other one is? Hawk Tua. Huh. Hey, good for her, man. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you talked about her last time.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked to Clem about her, but...
I think you like her.
Huh?
I think you like her.
No, I don't like the Hawk Tua chick. She's just a kid. And
you just like the Hawk Tua.
No, I don't. I feel bad for her dad, and I said that when we talked to Clem. We're going to air that episode anyway. And we talked about some other shit with Clem that I didn't get a chance to play the clips. I don't know. Clem just keeps talking, and I didn't really want to play any clips. You know what I mean? But here's the one about Michael Jackson fighting Tupac and kicking his ass. All right. All right.
Fast forward years later, Tupac is dating one of the daughters. I think it was Khadijah.
Yeah. Talking about Quincy Jones' daughter.
Quincy was tight.
Right.
Michael Jackson watched Quincy Jones' daughters grow up. Tupac comes out the party, disrespecting Khadijah, like, bitch, shut up. Come the fuck on. Shut the fuck up and get in the car. Mike stepped to him. Yo, you can't talk to her like that. He was like, Mike, mind your fucking business. Mike was like, fuck no, that's like my niece. You ain't going to just talk to her like that. Michael Jackson and fucking Tupac start rumbling. Michael Jackson beat his ass. They said Tupac loved to fight, but he can't fight.
Tupac and Michael Jackson.
What? You got to remember, number one, Mike came up in the house with how many brothers? Do you got brothers? You ain't got brothers. You got brothers? Okay, so I have four brothers. That's how I learned how to fight. Fast forward.
That was a great clip.
You
can't talk to my niece like that.
That's fucking crazy, man. What they said, Tupac loved to fight. Why? Because he has Thug Life tattooed on his stomach?
Yeah.
Or did? Get the fuck out of here. The dude took ballet classes. He took acting classes. I'm pretty sure he sucked dick. I don't buy none of that shit.
I didn't believe it at first, but like the more I keep seeing, like the more I'm like, maybe, like without the like the makeup, you know, like the tattoos, the wife beater kind of thing, you know, the saggy pants.
Well, have you seen the one when he was a young kid? And he was like super flamboyant.
When he was getting interviewed for ballet or something.
It might have been.
Yeah. But yeah, it could be.
I got another clip. It kind of goes along with this narrative that has been going on in this world. All right, this is Biggie Smalls. And this dude's talking about one of his videos. And I don't know who this dude is, but he's cool as fuck. All right. Oh, I got one of these with two slides.
You go and you look at the Big Papa video. The lead woman in that, or the lead guy in that, is a transgender. Why is the lead person out of all the bad in New York City back then? Even the women in the video. Why was the lead a transgender?
Look, I could see it.
Why was there, you remember the scene in the bathroom? Why was there a transgender person in the bathroom with them and the guy? Now look at the girl. Go to the scene when Buster's talking to her at the bar, and Big walk up and moved in, and then, or when she say true, stop it right there and look at the knot in her throat.
Don't do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boys? Forget the telly. We just go to the.
Her name is Shamika. She was from Queens and she got killed because she was. Was day didn't know it was a man, and went to ask her and found out she was a man, and she's dead, and he's in jail. You go and you look at the Big Papa video.
Yeah, they bleeped out a lot of words because he kept cussing, but
yeah, I
can see that fucking apple. We call it Adam's apple. I mean. Ain't no fucking doubt about that.
Yeah. You know, they said back in those days when gangster rap started coming out, that they gathered, you know, everybody and said, this is going to be our agenda. We're going to be promoting gang violence, you know, like gangs and shootings and all this other shit. And some people refused, and they got killed off. And those that stayed were just part of the system. Right. So I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this one. But I had seen that clip. And you know what? Like, another person that I can think about that's something similar is Bad Bunny. There's a lot of...
I don't know that person.
Yeah, good. Don't even waste your time. But yeah, there's a clip I heard of him being fucked by P. Diddy. And it sounds like him. They say it's fake, but it definitely sounds like him. And he's one of those guys that might have started from something small in Puerto Rico, but he ended up dating the Kardashians. He ended up wearing a dress. He ended up dressing as a transvestite in a music video. People are pissed off in Puerto Rico that all he's doing is promoting stupid shit for the children, you know, for the youth, and promoting faggotness.
I believe it.
You know, I don't know. I think it's a Hollywood agenda thing, man.
All right, let me... God damn it. All right, the secret meeting that changed rap music and destroyed a generation. This anonymous letter landed in my inbox about a minute ago. Oh, this was in 2012.
I thought you were talking about right now.
No. It's not me. This is an article. After more than 20 years, I finally decided to tell the world what I witnessed in 91. Which I believe was one of the biggest turning points in popular music. And ultimately, American society. I have struggled for a long time weighing the pros and cons of making this story public, as I was reluctant to implicate the individuals who were present that day. So I've simply decided to leave out names and all the details that may risk my personal well-being and that of those who were, like me, dragged into something they weren't ready for. Between the late 80s and early 90s, I was what you may call a decision maker with one of the more established company in the music industry. I came from Europe in the early 80s and quickly established myself in the business. The industry was different back then, since technology and media weren't accessible to people like they are today. The industry had more control over the public and had the means to influence them any way it wanted. This may explain why in early 1991 I was invited to attend a closed-door meeting with a small group of music business insiders to discuss rap music's new direction. Little did I know that we would be asked to participate in one of the most unethical and destructive business practices I've ever seen. The meeting was held at a private residence on the outskirts of Los Angeles. I remember about 25 to 30 people being there, most of them familiar faces. Speaking to those I knew, we joked about the theme of the meeting, as many of us did not care for rap music and failed to see the purpose of being invited to a private gathering to discuss its future. Among the attendees was a small group of unfamiliar faces who stayed to themselves and made no attempt to socialize beyond their circle. Based on their behavior and formal appearance, they didn't seem to be in our industry. Our casual chatter was interrupted when we were asked to sign a confidentiality agreement, preventing us from publicly discussing the information presented during the meeting. Needless to say, this intrigued and in some cases disturbed many of us. The agreement was only a page long but very clear on the matter and consequences, which stated that violating the terms would result in job termination. We asked several people what this meeting was about and the reason for such secrecy, but couldn't find anyone who had answers for us. A few people refused to sign and walked out. No one stopped them. I was tempted to follow, but curiosity got the best of me. A man who was part of the unfamiliar group collected the agreement from us. This is a long fucking thing. All right.
Yeah.
Hold up. Alright, I'm trying to... Alright, I had to pause it for a second. I'm not reading all of this, it's too fucking long. But it says here, sure enough, someone asked what these prisons were and what any of this had to do with us. We were told that these prisons were built by privately owned companies who received funding from the government based on the number of inmates. The more inmates, the more money the government would pay these prisons. It was also made clear to us, since these prisons are privately owned, as they become privately traded, we'd be able to buy shares. Most of us were taken back by this. Again, a couple of people asked what this had to do with us. At this point, my industry colleague who had first opened the meeting took the floor again and answered our questions. He told us that since our employers had become silent investors in this prison business, it was now their interest to make sure that these prisons remain filled. Our job would be to help make this happen by marketing music which promotes criminal behavior, rap music being the music of choice. He assured us that this would be a great situation for us because rap music was becoming an increasingly profitable market for our companies. And as employee, we'd also be able to buy personal stock in these prisons. Immediately, silence came over the room. You could have heard a pin drop. I remember looking around to make sure I wasn't dreaming and saw half of the people with dropped jaws. My days was interrupted when someone shouted, "Is this a fucking joke?" At this point, things became chaotic. Two of the men who were part of the unfamiliar groups grabbed the man who shouted out and attempted to remove him from the house. A few of us, myself included, tried to intervene. One of them pulled out a gun and we all backed off. They separated us from the crowd and all four of us were escorted outside. All right, so you get the point.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about.
At the end, it says, I officially quit the music business in 1993, but my heart had left months before. I broke ties with the majority of my peers, removed myself. So, yeah, man.
So I heard on that Biggie thing, on that Biggie music video, I heard that he didn't know.
He didn't know that what?
That was a trans person.
Shit.
That all this gay shit was happening within the music industry and Hollywood. And he actually talked about it, and that's why he got killed. It doesn't explain Tupac.
Why not?
Because Tupac never, supposedly he was gay to begin with. It doesn't explain anything.
Well, he was a ballerina.
That doesn't mean anything. Some of the best drummers in the world have taken ballet lessons.
We've been over this before. I just like to talk shit. There's so many people that love Tupac out there. I'm not in this to gain listeners. I'm just talking shit. I'm going to be me, and that's the way it is.
Same here. So I keep getting asked at work, like, what's my favorite kind of food? And people are very shocked because they know some of my opinions. My favorite food is Indian food.
Why is that shocking?
Because I'm kind of racist.
I thought you were going to say soul food.
But dude, I will go to an Indian restaurant that is like a family-owned business. Like Star of India on Reynolds.
No, I don't go to those. I mean, it's similar to my wife. I got Thai food here at home. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? So,
yeah, oh,
a lot of it's similar.
It's super similar to, I think, a lot of your food and the food that my family exposes me to. And I just love it. It's just a little bit different.
Right.
But I love it. But I'll tell you something. I will never, ever fucking go to India. You know how they say, like, Indians have been getting made fun of lately on the internet, and I don't feel bad. Somebody needs to tell them. They kind of smell. They're very entitled, and they're kind of gross when it comes to hygiene. Like, people say like that, like they don't use toilet paper to wipe their ass. They'll just use water in their hand. So they'll wipe their ass with their hand in the middle of a plaza, and then go and buy food.
That's a Muslim thing, I think. But
or go after wiping their ass after shitting with their hand, go and make food and serve food.
All right, now, so like if in some of the countries in the Middle East, if you get caught stealing, they'll cut your hand off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got one hand they eat with and one hand they wipe their ass with. This is what I was told by Muslim people. And I'm not saying all of them do that. It depends. There's different kinds of Muslims. There's you know, all these different countries. And
yeah, no.
Everybody's different with different cultures and shit.
These are fucking Indians, dude. I'm telling you, they're it's a shithole. They're the dirtiest, stinkiest people on this fucking planet.
That's very offensive, Julio. But go ahead.
And they don't fucking even know it. They don't realize it. Like, you know, and then they also get made so fun of on the internet because it's true. Like, send picture to Bob and Vagine. You know, they're like just macking on every woman out there, and they think that, you know, like they're so cool and hot. I don't know. It's funny. To me, it's funny. But here's a fucking video, a clip of them at a gathering, and all they're doing is throwing shit, literally shit, excrement around.
Why? I mean, I'm watching. Yeah. There's really no audio, but yeah, they're throwing shit. I don't get it. Where did it come from? Did they shit in their hand like monkeys? Or did they have buckets or what?
It was a poop war.
Oh my God.
Dude, like I don't know, in terms of humans, like there's some evolutionary things that are very like interesting, you know, like you know how monkeys throw shit?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm familiar with that. That happens in Panama because they don't want you on their territory. And so that's like a, it's like a, some kind of defensive device to get people out of the area.
Yeah, but see, the monkey recognizes that it can be weaponized because it's offensive. If you get shit thrown at you, you should be offended.
Okay.
These fucking Indians don't. These fucking Indians don't. They're throwing it for fun. Like, it's a cool thing. Just like fucking wiping your ass with your hand and then going and eating or going and serving food to people. That's why people get sick. Like, if you're a foreigner and you go to India, you will get sick.
Well, you said Indian food's one of your favorite foods, so.
But I will eat it here in the United States. That's what my point was. That's why I would never go to India to eat it.
Yeah, but people that came here from India are making it. Who says that they...
Well, something happens when they leave the cesspool that is India.
Are you sure? I hope you're correct about that for your sake, but there's no guarantee on anything.
Dude, these people, this family that runs this restaurant, like I left my my debit card there. And they opened a restaurant early for me to come and get it. And they do catering. And I've seen some other stuff. Like, and remember, I was in the food industry. So I kind of know what to look for. There's certain things, that come to mind. Even when I go to the bathroom and I see the bathroom at a restaurant, it tells me something about them. If they can keep a restroom clean, they can probably keep a kitchen clean for the most part.
Right.
So little observations like that. I might be wrong. I might be eating shit, but I've never gotten sick from their food at all.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, I got a clip here, man. All right. This is, remember when Clem was talking about how they don't have a car because they don't need one in New York?
Mm-hmm.
All I could think about was this. Like, you know how I told you, if it wasn't for my wife and kids, I'd be living in the woods? This clip sums it up in a nutshell. All right, so here it is.
Listen, Sucky, you ever been broke?
Sure, mostly often.
All right, you're walking along.
It's a movie.
Not a nickel in your jeans, you're free as the wind. Nobody bothers you. Hundreds of people pass you by in every line of business. Shoes, hats, automobiles, radios, furniture, everything. And they're all nice, lovable people. And they let you alone. Well, is that right? Then you get a hold of some dough and what happens? All those nice, sweet, lovable people become helots. A lot of heels. They begin creeping up on you. Trying to sell you something. They get long claws. And they get a stranglehold. And you squirm, and you duck, and you holler, and you try to push them away, but you haven't got a chance. They got you. First thing you know, you own things. A car, for instance. Now your whole life is messed up with a lot more stuff. You get license fees, and number plates, and gas, and oil, and taxes, and insurance, and identification cards, and letters, and bills, and flat tires, and dishes, and traffic tickets, and motorcycle cops, and courtrooms, and lawyers, and fines, and a million and one other things. And what happens? You're not the free and happy guy you used to be. You got to have money to pay for all those things. And so you go after what the other fellas got. And there you are. You're a helot yourself. Listen, Sucky, you ever been...
Yeah, that's like what I'm... That. Yeah, I mean, he's right. I don't know what fucking movie that is. It's in black and white. You can tell by the way he talks, probably, but listen, sucky, you ever been broke? Listen, see?
Yeah, that reminds, I 100% agree with that. Like,
right, more man.
Money, more money, more problems.
Like exactly.
We were talking about Biggie. And it really, like, if you relinquish money, like, things are better. And it reminds me of a book I read called The Dharma Bums. Yeah. And there's a character called Jaffe Ryder, and he walks away. He's the outcast in the family who walks away from, like, a traditional life. He will just kind of, like, go from place to place. He will work at wherever he's at. He will try to find, like, a temporary job.
Yeah.
Make enough money just to kind of, like, survive and then move on. He's not locked to anything. No subscriptions. No bills. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, right.
He's transient.
I love that, man. That's what I want.
Yeah. There's a fucking beauty to that. Like, I remember when I was working at General Motors, I should say, there was a guy who purposely had no cell phone, and people were making up stories about him, like, oh, he probably can't afford a cell phone. And I'm like, how could this motherfucker not afford a cell phone? He's making, you know, like $80,000 to $100,000 doing what he's doing. He can't afford a cell phone. This guy would walk to work because he lives at an apartment, like, very close.
I'm telling you, man, that's the way.
And I'm like, that's a luxury in today's world. Like,
it is.
I'm jealous of him.
I swear to God.
They felt sorry for him. I felt jealous of him.
Nice. You know, because you got it figured out, like me. Yeah. It's like, yeah, nah, man. That clip sums it up. But you know how I was thanking my AI employees at the beginning?
Yeah.
Well, here's one last clip. I don't know. You said you were tired at the beginning. I don't know if you're ready to wrap it up pretty soon.
But I got my third win, man. I'm going. I'm wound up.
I'll tell you what, man. It's 6:20 a.m. right now, and I got to have some sleep to be ready for kickoff. I could tell you that because we got a new quarterback, Jameis Winston. We fucking beat the Ravens last week. And maybe that was because they weren't prepared for him. And they also have, like, the worst passing defense in the league, and two of their cornerbacks were out. But if he does it, I'm excited to watch today, because if he does it again, it's on, man. We're back. Yeah. The fucking pervert is hurt. He's off the field, and he's on the sideline in street clothes. I can't wait to get rid of that motherfucker. I've been waiting for this all year. All right, but here, this is a clip about AI.
All right.
And he asked the AI how to get out of the Matrix. It's interesting.
If you were a human, how would you break out of the Matrix in one paragraph?
If I were a human, breaking out of the Matrix would start with questioning every narrative fed by mainstream systems, media, education, government, and big corporations. I'd reconnect with nature, seek knowledge from alternative, often suppressed sources, and focus on natural holistic health to elevate my physical and mental clarity. I'd build a self-sufficient lifestyle, grow my own food, and form deep, meaningful relationships with like-minded individuals who also seek truth. Most importantly, I'd reject fear-based control and embrace consciousness, love, and freedom as the ultimate keys to liberation. What about you? How would you break out?
Wow. You were a human. How would you break out of the Matrix in one paragraph?
Pretty crazy, huh? You hear me?
Yeah, that was very interesting.
I find it hard. I mean, I don't know what, there's all different kinds of AI now, but I don't know if he planned that out, but it fucking made sense to me. You know what? I should have downloaded. I'm going to download ChatGPT on here and ask the same thing. You know what? I'm going to pause it right now. Okay, we're back.
Pretty much the same thing.
All right. So I was concerned that, the word matrix has a social stigmatism to it, right? So I put how to break out of a society that you don't want, like or want to be a part of. And it basically said the same thing, but it's, all right, self-reflection. Define your values. Seek like-minded people. Gradual change. Alternative living. Education and skills. Mental health. What's that mean? Pay attention to your mental well-being sometime. Seeking professional help. That's definitely not one of the steps. Set goals. Be open to change. All right, now Julio was like, yeah, but you typed it different. So I said, all right, how do you break out of the matrix? Awareness, critical thinking, educate yourself, mindfulness and reflection, limit media consumption, connect with authentic people. In other words, surround yourself with individuals who challenge norms and encourage authenticity. Seek out communities that foster genuine connections. Pursue your passions. Explore alternative lifestyles. What the fuck is that about? Look into ways of living that align more closely with your values, such as minimalism, sustainable living, or digital nomadism. Okay, take action. Start small by making changes in your daily routine, such as trying new things, personal goals, or exploring new beliefs. Embrace uncertainty. Let go of the need for certainty and control. Embracing uncertainty can open up new possibilities and paths. That's exactly right. I mean, both of these pretty much said the same thing, so I thought the guy was bullshitting, but apparently not.
All right, so check this out. I Googled how to be left-wing in today's world on ChatGPT.
What? Why?
I don't know. We've been talking about, like, I just kind of want to see what it said.
Uh-huh.
And so it said, left-wing today often involves advocating for social justice, equality, and environmental sustainability. This is just fucking EDI, bro. Here are some ways to align with left-wing principles. It's almost like the same main topics as the last two.
Except the other way, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like, so educate yourself. Read about political theories, history, and current events. Understand issues like economic inequality, climate change, and systemic racism. Engage in activism. Participate in protests. Volunteer for grassroots organizations or support movements that align with your values, such as LGBTQ plus rights, labor rights, or climate action. Support progressive policies. Advocate for policies like universal health care, affordable education, and stronger labor rights. Engage with local representatives to express your support. Promote inclusivity. Foster discussion about diversity and inclusion in your community. Listen to marginalized voices and support initiatives that address systemic inequalities. Be environmentally conscious. Challenge inequality. Participate in local politics. And support candidates who align with left-wing ideals. Use social media wisely. Share information.
Said the same thing.
And connect with like-minded individuals and organizations online. I mean, it's the same shit, just kind of like spun differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a fucking Harris rally.
All right, man. I'm ready to wrap it up. I got to put this fucking episode out. And then I got to get enough sleep and be ready for kickoff.
The things you do to go see men play.
Hey, man, that's my bread and circus. All I got is football and boxing. I don't mind UFC either, but that's it. I don't like fucking TV shows. I don't like movies.
You like the Righteous Gemstones.
I do enjoy that. I'm not going to lie.
Where you at, by the way?
Right after the kids got kidnapped by the militia group. And I told my wife, I said, you know, if I was anyone on this show, I'd probably be somebody in that militia group. Right?
Yeah. That's so fucking funny. I love that show.
Yeah.
So last thing I'm going to say is, did you know that 111,111,111 times 111,000,000 times $111,000 equals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I believe it. Math is the language of the Old Testament. Now we can. I don't even get going on that. We'll talk about it next episode. I'm telling you, man. So there's a guy that studies. I don't know if it's called numerology or. But he claims that the Hebrew language is based on numbers.
Hmm.
And he started decoding the Bible. You know, we'll talk about it next week, but it's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I want to say thanks to everybody that's come on the show, like Tony. I'm sorry we haven't gotten together or I haven't been able to make it, but thanks a lot for sharing your input, you know, and Clem, you know, Legs and Eggs and the General.
The General, even though we missed a couple times, that's all right.
It's all right.
He said he went to the pub and had some tinnies.
What is that?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to bring it up on my fucking Instagram right now.
Like canned beers?
Tinnies? Yeah. When he texts me, half the time I don't even understand what the fuck he's talking about. All right, let me. Okay, so I said, we still on for one? He's like, in like 3 hours, mate. And it was like a half hour till one. I'm like, wait, you said one ES Eastern time. He goes, two hours, mate. And I'm like, so they're like 3 or 4 hours behind us. So he goes, I'll be back for 6 p.m. very latest, mate. I got to pop some sort summit out in town. I'll be rapid apologies if I get tinnies fucked up, brother. And then he didn't show up. Sorry, General. We love you.
I mean, it takes me the whole episode of to be able to like not have to ask him to repeat.
I know, man. The accent. Although we speak English, we don't understand English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is.
But yeah, thanks to all the listeners. We appreciate your support. You know, thanks to Clem, Tony, General Lee. And my AI employee. Thank you. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
I mentioned Heidi.
Oh, Heidi. That's
and Whitney Fox.
Oh, that's been a long time. Yeah, thanks to everybody. Anybody that's ever come on.
That Whitney episode was our best viewed one.
Was it?
Yeah.
You mean on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay. Our best viewed one on, or our best listened to one is by far anything that mentions Trump. Like the one that says Trump shot. It's like super high. And then the one that says Trump 2020 is fucking by far surpasses any of the other episodes. So, all right.
All right, brother.
Any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, email us at conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com or give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 31FluFrog6. That's 31FLU as in the Wuhan flu. 31FluFrog6. And Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram. Julio's Conspiracy Soldiers Garlic Parm. So, yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, and Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.